We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We are going to be playing a game. We did this once before. It was very fun. We had a good time and we were able to hand out fabulous prizes to those who would participate. The way that this game works is you come up on stage with me, we play three clips from various TV shows, most of them family-oriented as we're in our modern family series. We play three clips, and you guess each one. If you get the first one right, you get a $5 gift card. Woo! If you guess the second one right, you get another $5 gift card. And my friends, if you are able to get number three right, that will be the harder one, then you will get a $10 gift card. Woo! This is getting hot in here. Somebody must be preaching. So we have a possibility of winning $20 in gift cards to various family establishments, and we are very excited to have people play. We have our volunteer, our contestant, pre-selected for today, and I need him to come up to the front. Where is Bruce Fain? Woo! All right, Bruce, tell us your name.
Stage fright. Bruce Fain.
Thank you, Bruce. And what's your favorite TV show?
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, there you go. Well, thank you very much for playing, Bruce. We're so happy to have you. You're going to see it come up in the screen right there, and we're going to have a song go. Yeah, that one. All right, so roll that song. Mr. Cruz.
I didn't watch it, but I think that's the Flintstones.
Is it the Flintstones? Yay! The happy baby means that you, sir, you get something out of my pocket. All right. You get a gift card to Walmart. Woo! Great for diapers and other things. All right. Time for song number two. Ready?
Whatever happened to predictability? The milkman, the paperboy, evening TV. You miss your old familiar friends, but waiting just around the bend. Everywhere you look, everywhere there's you a look. Heart.
This one's obviously longer because we're apparently nostalgic.
This was after my time. Two babies and a man.
Oh, let's see if that's right. Two babies and a man. Oh. Sad baby means that I'm going to go to Walmart. All right. And what was it? Everybody know? Anybody know? Full House. John Stamos, he makes yogurt commercials now. All right, this last one is for all the beans, the $10 Chick-fil-A gift card. With this gift card, you could buy a shake, you could buy some chicken or something like that. So roll that song, sir. What is it, Joe? Startling lack of Stamos in this one. They barely even kissed. That's how old this is. All right.
You're in my time period now. Is that the Donna Reed Show?
Is it the Donna Reed Show? Yeah! Happy baby.
Okay. I don't want you to judge me, but I have to say something. Sometimes I want to punch my kids.
You don't mean that.
No, I do. I do. The last time they were horrible the way they were today, they happened to be all lined up. And I couldn't help but think, if I hit just one of them, the rest would go down like dominoes.
Gee.
I know.
That would rob me of the pleasure of hitting each one individually, but...
Oh, my God, you don't talk about your children this way.
Oh, come on. You know Manny irritates you.
No, Manny is the best thing that ever happened to me. We have a special bond.
Yes, bonds. I know, but that's not what I'm talking about now.
Claire, for a long time, it was only the two of us. I cannot say anything bad about that boy.
Give me a break, Gloria. Anybody who's ever had a kid knows that they can irritate the freaking life out of you at some point. Am I right? Oh, okay.
His persnickety.
What?
Manny. His persnickety. It drives me off the wall.
Okay. Persnickety, good start.
He follows me around all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I love it, but sometimes I need my own space.
This does not make you a bad mother to admit these things.
And the poetry. It's not very good.
Huh?
First time that I say that out loud.
Okay.
He's not very good!
Wow!
I love Manny, but, you know, sometimes I just be a boy, go outside, kick a ball, steal something. Oh. Ah! It feels so good!
Oh. Maybe to you.
No, Manny, I was talking about another Manny that I know a long time ago. Diablo! Manny!
Well, again, welcome to Redemption Church, and again, happy Mother's Day. We are starting a new series today, as you can see, called Modern Family. We live in a modern world. We come up with modern solutions for everything, but some things need ancient wisdom that is only found in God. So today, in honor of Mother's Day, we're going to be taking a look at three mothers from the Bible that have something to say to modern moms. Now, if you're not a mom, don't tune out. The Bible is full of wisdom. It is for you. And in case you never realized this before, you can learn a lot from moms, even if they're not your mom. So our first biblical mother today is Sarah. She was the wife of Abraham and the mother of Isaac. But before we get to her, I'd like to ask a question to those of you in the audience. A quick show of hands. Who here can juggle? I see one, two, a couple. All right. I cannot. I had never mastered that ability. I know Pastor Scott can. If you're a mom, I'm willing to bet that you can juggle. And if you're the mother of more than one child, then I know you can juggle. Because being a parent, being a mother, is complicated. There's a lot of responsibilities. You're responsible for your children and their activities and their lives. Being a mom can feel overwhelming. There's always something to do. And some moms have a job, or I guess I should say a second job, because being a mom is kind of a full-time job in its of itself. Some moms have a job on top of it. There's a lot to do when you're a mom. And in our modern, tightly scheduled lives, there's a tendency nowadays for us to always want to do more and more things. And so we want our kids to do more and more things. We can't waste a second. There's always more to do. You gotta schedule every moment. For some modern moms, life becomes an unending race of activity. You got to get the kids up, take them to school, bring them home, go to soccer practice, get them to art class, help them with homework. There's Girl Scouts, there's Boy Scouts, there's T-ball. You got to get them to karate. Then there's play dates that are scheduled. There's just one thing after another. On and on. For some moms, there's always more to do. You want your children to grow up well-adjusted and well-rounded. You want them to have the best of everything, the best experiences. And some moms feel like they're going to make sure that they do, even if they have to plan out every moment of their day and then make sure that that plan gets carried out personally. You feel like you have to do it. You want to do everything. You want to be everything for your kids. What would Sarah have to say to moms who feel this way? I believe she would say that God's promise is better than anything you can do for yourself. Sarah walked by faith. She left her homeland, she left her relatives to travel with Abraham and his family to somewhere. Abraham didn't know where. He was going to a place that God would send him, and God had promised him this land, but they didn't know where it was. And God had promised her husband that he would be the father of multitudes, a great nation, God's people. And so Sarah was faithful to her husband and to God, and she spent her life traveling from place to place. And I'm sure that she felt responsible to provide this lineage for Abraham. She felt it was up to her. But as the years went by, she thought that she couldn't have children anymore. And even so, she tried to make it happen anyway. She tried to make sure Abraham would have descendants through her servant Hagar. But that didn't work out so well, because that wasn't God's promise. God's promise is better than anything you can do for yourself. And God is always faithful to keep his promises. Amen? Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the very time God had promised him. God is faithful. And Sarah is even mentioned in the faith chapter of the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, it says, "And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise." God is faithful to his promises. Sarah walked by faith, even when it was difficult. She trusted in God's promise. Some of us here today need to trust in God's promise rather than our own abilities. We want what's best for our kids. We want to do everything for them. But we cannot possibly do as much as God can. The best thing you can do for your children is to make sure that they know Jesus Christ. Bring them up in the faith. Bring them to church. Make your faith a part of their lives. As it says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, "Start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it." Do you want that for your children? Do you want them, when they're grown, to continue walking the right path? Then trust in God's word. Raise them up in it. Trust in God's promise. As it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, "The promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off." And what is that promise? Well, in the second chapter of Acts, in this specific passage, Peter is talking to the people of Israel, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That promise is for you and for your children. Do you want that for your kids? I hope so, man. It's amazing. Are you living a life of repentance? Have you been baptized? Are you living out your faith in your kids' lives? Well, that's not the only promise that God gives us. He has promised us his love, that he would never leave us or forsake us. He has promised us salvation through Jesus Christ. He has promised us life, eternal life, abundant life. If you're scheduling your kids in all these activities and you want them to have a life, my kid needs to get a life. You want your kids to have a life? You need to introduce them to the way, the truth, and the life. That is Jesus Christ. If you feel like you can't do anything because you're always running your kids around to the next activity, the next event, the next thing. If you wish you had a life, you need the life that is Jesus Christ. Yes. Amen. Amen. God promises that if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to Him, He will make your path straight. He will guide you in all your ways. He will guide your kids if you teach them to trust in Him. It doesn't matter if you make the most perfect schedule for your children. If you plan out their every waking moment from the time they're born until they turn 18, it can never be as good as what God has for them. When we rely on our own understanding, we want to rely on our own understanding and abilities. That's comfortable for us. But if God isn't a part of it, then it's all meaningless. We want our children to take part in fun activities. We want to give them opportunities to learn and to exercise and to socialize. We want them to have impressive things to put on their resume when they apply to college. But don't put anything ahead of God. Prioritize their spiritual growth. Give them time to grow in their relationship with the Lord. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." That's the key. If you know Jesus, all those other things, whatever else you might want for your kids, they will receive it and more in a better way through Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing you can give to your kids. Teach them. Teach them that through your faith. Take time to pray with them. Talk about your faith around the dinner table. Read the Bible with them. It's not about how much you can do. It's about making sure your children know Jesus Christ. It's about trusting in Him to see all that He will do in their lives and all that He will do in your life. Sarah trusted in God's promise, even when she didn't understand it. And what she ultimately received was better than anything she could have done by herself. God's promise is better than anything you can do yourself.
Couldn't be more than five.
You're so fat they have to jack you up to take off your shoes.
Yeah, well, you're so skinny your eyes are in single file.
Well, you're so ugly your ears stick out to get away from your face.
Well, your mama is
so... Wait a minute. Don't bring anyone mother into this. She ain't here. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. So remember, when you put down one mother, you put down mothers all over the world.
She's put on a face, and every worry that I caused when I stayed out late. The last letter R is that she taught me respect, and for the room up in heaven that I know she'll get. Mother, there is no other like mother, so treat her right. Mother, I'll always love her, my mother, so treat her right, treat her right.
No, I'm just kidding. That's funny. I wonder how many pastors today were like, man, I hope I can follow Mr. T when I go up to preach at church on Mother's Day. All right, well, what can ancient mothers give to modern moms? That was our idea for today. We see all kinds of moms in society today. There's crafty moms, Pinteresty kind of moms, there's biker moms, there's cool moms, there's not as cool moms. There's all these different moms in all these different positions in life. But one thing that kind of runs as a common thread through our entire society is worry. All those moms are probably worried a little bit about their kids. And why wouldn't you worry about raising a child? Raising a child is a great responsibility and a Herculean task. Moms in families with a husband, with a dad, they might be concerned with paying enough attention to their child. They might be concerned with raising him or her up with wits and wisdom to deal with the things that life hands them and providing them opportunities so that that way they're able to engage in things they want and learn and find their way in life. Now, it can be worrisome to raise a child today. Now, imagine that you're talking about a single mom, which coincidentally, there's 10.3 million of them with children under the age of 18. That's a census from 2012. Wow. All that worry with no one to help you with that, with no partner to share in that. Raising a child is tough. I got two. They don't communicate very well. It's hard. It's very hard. And I don't know about you, if you have children, but man, I'm just worried that I'm gonna do it right. You know what I mean? I want to do it right. And we're all worried about that when we have kids. We want to take care of those kids. And if you're a mom in here and you're worried, all this is to say that you're not alone. The tricky part is that the Bible instructs us over and over and over again not to worry. Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now that sounds good, right? We hear that, we're like, ooh, that'll preach. We get excited about that one. That sounds great. But I don't know about you. I don't know how you learn things. But I kind of need more of an object lesson in that. I need somebody to tread that ground a little bit before me so that that way I know what we're supposed to do. Thank God for Hannah. The Old Testament woman Hannah. I'm going to say some names here, and I'm going to try to get them right here, but it's Elkanah. Elkanah, he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, excuse me. And Hannah and Peninnah had an interesting situation. In the Bible, we see polygamy happen quite a bit, and rarely does it go very well. And in this situation, Peninnah, she's able to have kids, which is very important to Middle Eastern culture back in ancient society. She was able to bear children, and Hannah could not. Every year, Elkanah and his wives would go to Shiloh, which was the spiritual capital of the area, and they would make sacrifice to God. Hannah, who was most likely worried that she would ever be able to be useful as a wife, would still go to Shiloh every year. On her way there, and when she's there, the Bible records that Peninnah was mean to her all the time, being a little catty. trying to start fights, talking down to her, and it says literally in the Bible that Hannah was sad. She was sad. We feel for Hannah, right? That sounds bad. I don't want none of that. That's sad. But 1 Samuel chapter 1 is the start of something beautiful. Because Hannah, in all of her worry, Hannah, in all of her concern, in her destitution, in her frustration, in her lack, in her barrenness, Hannah stops being sad and goes to the temple and she prays her guts out to the Lord. If you read the scripture, she was speaking so quickly and with such fervor that her mouth was moving while words could not be heard. So Eli, the priest in the temple, he looks over and he sees her and he thinks, that lady is wasted. Now that's paraphrased. That lady is drunk and we need to get her out of here. So he goes over to her and she explains the fact that she's not drunk. She's fervently seeking the Lord for this situation. She prays and prays and prays, and she dedicates that if she has a child, that she'll give that child to the Lord. And Eli, after explaining the situation to him, Eli blesses her, and it says in 1 Samuel 1:18, "So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad." She hadn't been eating. They would give her food, but she hadn't been eating. "The woman went her way, and her face was an eight, and her face was no longer sad." So she prays and she has this spiritual experience with the Lord. And her worry just starts to melt away. Her worry just starts to fade away. The next day, she goes home and she has relations with Elkanah, and they conceive Samuel, who would be her child. It was when she gave her worries, when she believed that God would give her a child, when she dedicated that future child that she didn't even know was coming, but she had faith that he was coming to the Lord, that she gained peace and she got her son. You see, Hannah understood that everything on earth is God's. Can we agree on that? Everything on earth is God's. My yellow preaching shoes, those are God's shoes. That's why I wear them. Amen. This podium is God's. Everything is God's. Every penny that graces my pocket and sometimes the absence of them is God's. It's all God's. She understood that everything was God's, and she's just returning her son to his service. Later, when Samuel is weaned, is the word that he used. I assume that's a couple years later. She brings him to the temple to serve as a priest. Samuel would go on to have an intimate and powerful relationship with the Lord. Samuel would anoint kings, ones that are so famous that even though they're from the Old Testament, you might know about them. David. Samuel anointed David. When everybody thought it was going to be somebody else, God gave Samuel the 411 on the situation, and he was a part of that. So what can we learn from Hannah today? What can we learn from Hannah? Well, what we can learn is that whatever you give to God, you can never lose. Hannah gave her son to God before he was born because she knew that the Lord would be faithful to her. Amen. I wish we could be like that, huh? She sacrificed her faith. She gave her faith to God, and then she sacrificed her worry. She killed it and let it go. She gave her sadness away to God, and God gave her a son. And it doesn't even stop there, because if you look historically, she had more children after that. Samuel was at the temple, but she had children in her home. But she gave up her worry, and she allowed God to change her circumstance. I wish some moms would give up their worry and pick up an active prayer life instead. I wish that some moms with troubled kids, people have troubled kids, quotation marks. I wish that some moms with troubled kids would be able to give them to God and achieve that same peace. If your child's not walking with the Lord, if what Marshall said earlier sounds good to you, you're like, wow, I should have done that with my kid. Training him up in the Lord, that's great. I should have done that. Well, my kid's hell in a handbasket now. Oh, well, right? No, no, no. Give that worry, give that guilt and that those feelings that you have, give those to the Lord. The Lord calls his children back to him. Pray actively for your children if they're troubled. You can achieve that same peace. You can go forth and no longer be sad. God bless you. I think that we could benefit greatly from understanding that when you give something to God, you never lose. We have to have faith in the power of the Lord, right? We have to believe in the faith. If Hannah had gone to that temple all that time, she'd gone to that temple all that time, and she had been kind of probably indifferent and grumpy and frustrated because, ugh, no children, and Peninna is going to just yell at her all the time. But on this day, she chose to have faith and to fervently seek after God. And when she did that, when her faith met with God's plan, she was not in any sort of lack, but the Lord gave her everything her heart desired. The Lord wants us to leave our worry and search after his love. He wants us to sacrifice our fear and find his faithfulness to us. If Hannah was here today, she could tell you the exact same thing. Because Hannah walked out and she ate him when she was not sad. As the musicians come up to continue to play, we're going to sing a little more songs. I want to see some people that are sad up in Redemption Church walk home and not be sad anymore. I want to see some folks that might be worried. I want us to take that worry. And we come to the altar and talk to God. And believe me, Pastor Chris is going to bring this lesson home. I want us to take that worry and put it here and give it to God. And I want us to grab a hold of that faith and elevate our prayer lives. We can do that, right? It's never too late. So as we sing this song, Lord, I give you me, give of yourself to the Lord in praise.
My name's Chris. I'm the lead pastor here, and it's been said to you already, but I want to say it. Happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that each and every one of you came to spend Mother's Day with us. We love our mothers, and we love that you are here with us today. Luke chapter 1, 28. The angel went to her being Mary, and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Isn't it great to be favored? Isn't it great to be under God's blessing? This Mary, she is the mother of who? The mother of Jesus. And it is said of her that she is blessed. Luke chapter 1, verse 42. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Luke 1, 48. "From now on, all the generations will call me blessed." I believe Mary, the mother of Jesus, has some wisdom to share with blessed moms. Are there any blessed moms in the house today? All right. Well, if you aren't blessed, I want you to listen up. Listen up to this. Mary is blessed, right? The archangel Gabriel comes and calls her favored. Now, tells this virgin girl that she's going to give birth to the Savior. I ask you, how would you feel when an archangel, we're talking an archangel here, not just some lower level angel, we're talking an angel that actually has a name, right? And he's an archangel. There's only one of three archangels. One of them is going to sound the trumpet on the day. This Gabriel could be that guy. He shows up. This is not a small deal. This is a big deal. How would you feel at this moment? When he looks at you and says, "You are God's chosen, you are God's elected person to receive this blessing, you are favored above everyone else," how would you feel when he declares you're blessed by God? How would you feel in that moment? Well, Here's how Mary felt. Luke chapter 1, 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. So she is favored, but she is feeling troubled. She is blessed, but she is feeling afraid. Everyone agree with the text? Am I interpreting the text correctly? Mary was blessed, but she was afraid. I think Mary might tell us that we don't understand blessing. She might tell us that we just really don't get this whole blessing and being favored of God thing. Mary had a lot to worry about. Let's talk about it real quick. She was a virgin. She was engaged to be married. So she wasn't married yet, all right? But she had a promise to be married, and now this kid's going to show up, and what? Whoa, this is bad, right? Under Hebrew law, this is how bad it could be. Her life was in danger. Joseph could have had her stoned for being unfaithful and bringing shame upon him and his family name. And that's the worst that could happen. She's just dead immediately. Here's the best that could happen. She gets disowned, and she and her baby live in poverty. She and her baby are disowned by her own family. She and her baby die of hunger. That's the best case scenario. Isn't that great? She's in really bad trouble. Those are hardly circumstances that we would use to describe blessed and favored. I think Mary might tell us we don't understand blessing. I'm talking to some blessed moms today. Listen to what Mary has to say. She would tell you that blessed doesn't mean problem-free. She would tell you blessed doesn't mean comfortable. Blessed doesn't mean easy. Blessed doesn't mean everyone likes you. Blessed doesn't mean you won't suffer. Is that kind of different from your definition of blessed? You see, we think blessed means money's in the bank. We think blessed means all our prayers are answered. We think blessed, that blessed families have perfect kids. When Mary heard she was blessed, she was afraid. I've got some great and unexpected news for someone today. You are blessed and you might not even know it. You can clap for that. You are blessed and you just don't even know it. You're sitting there being afraid. I've come to tell you, you're blessed. You're worrying today. I've come to tell you, you are blessed. Mary wants you to know what being blessed is all about. As I've said, it's not about your circumstance. Here is what it's all about. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The Lord said to her, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." You want to know what being blessed is all about? It's about those words right there. The Lord is with you. Do you know today that the Lord is with you? I know that you might have some problems over here, but do you know that the Lord is with you? Because that is what we're talking about today with this blessing. A lot is made of Mary's encounter with the angel and the news of this blessing. But she would tell you that there was more to her life than this one moment. We celebrate this moment, especially come December time. We just celebrate this moment, this moment. We tell the story of Mary. What's the story of Mary? This one we just read. She would tell you there is a lot more to my story than just that one moment. This moment with the angel wouldn't be the only time she was afraid. She wants you to know that. This would not be the only moment that she second guesses. This would not be the only moment that she questions. One day, she was afraid when she accidentally left her young child, Jesus, whom the Lord gave her. She left this child in a city. She had gone and was like, hey, is Jesus riding with y'all? And they're like, no, no, we thought he was with you. And she's like, oh, what, where is he? He's way back in Jerusalem. He's by himself. He's at the temple. Thank goodness he was a good kid, right? But she was worried. She went back scared. Mary had other children. If you have other children, I want, number one, people forget that Mary had other kids. But she had other kids. You don't think she was afraid at other times in her life with those kids? You don't think she had worry with those kids? Can you imagine the fear Mary faced when her husband Joseph died? How about this? When her son Jesus, the Savior, was taken in the dead of night and she hears about it. What? What happened to Jesus? Where is he? How about as she was sitting in that sham of a courtroom and they're condemning him? How about when he carried the cross? How about when he was beaten? How about as he died? You don't think she was afraid? You don't think she questioned at that moment? Blessed are you, Mary. The Lord is with you. I don't know what you are facing that you're afraid of, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is with you. You are blessed. You are favored. Do you want a blessed family? You need the Lord in that family. You want a blessed family? You just ought to ask the Lord, Lord, be with us today in our family. We're talking about this modern family series. Let me just underline everything. Whatever we talk about and whatever questions you have, know this. If the Lord is with your family, you're a blessed family. Mary wants you to know that she faced problems early and often, just like you do, but that the Lord was with her. Always with her. He wasn't always visible, but he was there. He didn't always send an angel, but he was there. She didn't just have faith and courage that one time when she saw a Gabriel angel. She walked by faith constantly. A story about Mary that doesn't get told near enough. It concerns a resurrected Jesus. This is after Jesus is resurrected. I think we need to hear this story. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It talks about this, that Jesus is sitting. He's sitting with his disciples. And he tells them about the promise of the Father, the gift that the Father has for them. And that they need to go and wait in Jerusalem for this promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. They have gathered together in this upper room waiting, just like Jesus said. Who was there? All the disciples, and read, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. The family's there. Jesus' family, his mother and his brothers are there. What are they there for? They are waiting for the promise of the Father. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who was filled with the Holy Spirit? All of them. The disciples only? No, all of them. You mean anyone that was there was filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, including Mary. Mary was right there on the day of Pentecost, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Gospels, it tells us that Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and it gave her a son, Jesus. Well, this same Mary was filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I think Mary wants us to know that she lived by faith daily and that she encountered the Holy Spirit more than once in her life. Faith and Spirit aren't one-time events. You need them every day. Our families need faith and they need the Holy Spirit. I hope you believe that. Our families need faith and we need to just be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When was the last time you stepped out on faith? When was the last time you truly encountered the Holy Ghost? They aren't one-time events. Let me tell you right now, I'm just going to be very frank and forward and honest here. Churches in America have made faith and the Holy Spirit a one-time event. And it is not a one-time event. The churches in America have made it, there is this one time you stepped out on faith and you came up and you said the sinner's prayer, and in that moment you had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and that was just a one-time event. Now you're ready to go to heaven. I'm here to tell you, and Mary, I think, wants you to know that faith is not a one-time event. It's not that one time you prayed and God answers. It's about the next day. And it's about the next trial. And it's about the next fear. It's about the next worry. And that Holy Spirit, which is power from God, it is for you not in that one moment when you say a prayer. It is for you always. Our families need us to be walking in that. They need us to be active in that. Our churches need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to call for the musician. Thank you all for being so patient with us today. We are about to open up these altars. I want you to listen up. This modern world does a lot of things well. It's innovative. It solves complex problems. It does things that past generations thought were impossible. But there are some things the modern world cannot give you. There is a wisdom that comes only from God. There is a truth, a healing, a peace, a salvation that comes from only one place. It comes from God. This modern world, you can read some really great books and learn about the human psyche. You can watch your Oprah and your Dr. Oz and figure out some things. That's all well and good. But there are some things that you need that you cannot find in a book. This modern world needs God so much. We need some mothers and fathers, some sons and daughters, some grandparents, some aunts and uncles to come to this altar today and make sure that faith is not just a one-time event in their life. To make sure that the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event in their life. Why do we open up these altars every time? Because we want you to know it's not a one-time event. And your family needs you to be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Mothers and fathers, your children need you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They need the Holy Spirit to be living in you, breathing in you, and being powerful for you and your family. We need some moms that have a burden for their family. We need some moms that know how to pray. We need some fathers who understand how to talk to God and they aren't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need a new generation to rise up that doesn't set its dreams and desires on what this world can give, because they realize this world is so limited in what it can give. And they have set their heart, their affections above on what only God can give. We do three things every time we come to Redemption Church, even on Mother's Day, even on Father's Day. We do the same thing. Everybody worships. We've done that. Everybody receives the Word of God. You've gotten it threefold today. But now, as I draw to a close, we're about to open up this altar. What is that about? Well, it's about you taking a step of faith, and you just come down here, and you simply talk to God. That's what prayer is about. We're going to open up this altar, and we are not going to bother you. We are not going to mess with you. We're just going to invite you to come into this place and just talk to God. Why don't you ask God to come and be in your family? Why don't you ask God to come and fill you with the Holy Spirit? Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before. Well, let's get re-baptized in His Spirit. Let's receive an Acts chapter 2 experience just like Mary did. And let's do it again. And let's do it again. If you want prayer in this place, we want you to come into the first two.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.